and welcome to episode 129 of Rain Delay Radio. My name is Naim. We got a great segment this episode. I know we said, I think, last week that we're probably going to not talk about the A's move to Vegas again, but one last time we're talking about the A's move to Vegas with a Vegas sports fan, actually an odds maker in Vegas, so very tied into the pulse of Vegas sports, a friend of mine, Mitzula. So he's going to be on in our segment later on this episode. But before that, I am joined by Pat to talk about the news of the week. Pat, how's it going?
What's up? I'm doing good. Pretty late here on the East Coast.
Yeah.
I got home late.
I love peeling back behind the curtain, so I'm going to do it again here. We always say at the end of the episode that the show releases at 1 a.m. Eastern time. Not going to happen this week because right now, as I'm speaking, it is 12:44 Eastern time.
Yeah. I got home a little late tonight.
Yeah. Pat got home a couple hours later than expected, which happens. Stuff happens. And Lewis was like, maybe I can be around to the last resort. And by the time I asked Lewis, I think he had already gone to bed. And I started asking, is Phil around? Phil's not around. I asked Hack, who was on an episode a long time ago. He was not around. I asked Frack, who has been on an episode a few weeks ago. He was not around. I asked my friend Mike, who I just a friend of mine who loves baseball. I was like, are you around? He's like, I literally texted me right after you responded. He was like, I just got out of an LCD sound system concert. I'm like, okay, all right. Nice. So I'm glad, Pat, that you were able to make it.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
So we are here to talk about the news of the week. First up, let's talk about Elly De La Cruz. The Cincinnati Reds, first of all, finally snapped their 12-game win streak, which was their biggest win streak since 1930-something or something like that, right?
Yeah, it was the 40s or something. Big Red Machine era.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It was also the longest win streak the season after a team has lost 100 games.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool for them, I guess. 11 straight was the longest win streak since 57. So I don't know what 12 straight was. I'm not seeing that stat right offhand. But, it's a good streak. It's gotten them into first place in the Central, which is certainly good for them. They might suddenly become buyers a year after selling Wade Miley for literally nothing.
Yep.
In that span, Elly De La Cruz hit for the cycle.
He's unreal, man. If you haven't seen Elly De La Cruz, first off, what are you doing? Go watch some Reds games. They are watchable right now and they're fun. But if I'm going to describe Elly De La Cruz, so imagine a player that's got the power of Giancarlo Stanton and the speed of Ronald Acuna Jr. and is built like an absolute house. I mean, this dude is a freak and he's a switch hitter.
I'll say this. Remember everything we said about O'Neill Cruz a year ago? That's all actually true about Elly De La Cruz.
Another example, how scouts were hyping up Jason Dominguez as a modern day Mickey Mantle / switch hitting Mike Trout. Yeah, no, that's Elly De La Cruz. This dude is insane. He's a freak.
He's what if Ricky Henderson played shortstop?
What if Ricky Henderson
and
played
was a switch
shortstop?
Hitter. Also, by the way, also,
it was a switch hitter. Switch hitter. And had the power of Barry Bonds and could smoke the ball. Every hit this dude gets, it's not a soft hit. He's smoking the ball 100 miles an hour. It's insane.
According to ESPN, he's the first player in the World Series era to record 20 hits, 5 stolen bases, and 3 home runs in his first career games. First 15 career games, rather. What a guy. And they just called up... who'd they just call up?
They called up another one?
Yeah, I think for maybe starting tomorrow. Hold on.
Well, you look that up. Another thing about De La Cruz, he's accumulated 1.1 WAR in 15 games. 15 games he's accumulated this. He's insane.
Yeah, it's amazing. Oh, sorry, they didn't call him up. They just promoted Olivia Marte to AAA. But
so he's coming.
He's coming. You know,
he's coming.
He's on his way.
The Reds have so many infield prospects, and like I feel like
Shortstop. You know, like shortstop is Ellie Dela Cruz. Yeah.
Well, Matt McClain plays shortstop, or did.
Yeah.
Like they're gonna trade one, and they still got Arroyo in the minors.
Right. Yeah. I think you know, like Nick Senzel's time is short, and you know Jonathan India is a great trade chip. You know, like
yeah, they gotta trade one of these infielders for an outfielder. But,
and they also like they've also got Christian Encarnacion Strand, like first base DH,
he's
just like
the ball,
smoking, destroying baseballs in AAA. You know, like
and like it's not just hitting prospects; like they have promising pitching too. Like
yeah,
Hunter Green's like figuring it out. Andrew Abbott has looked great since he came up.
Nick Lodolo, when he's healthy, is great. A comedy of riches, you know.
It's like, imagine if this team didn't trade Luis Castillo last year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Castillo got a Olivia Marte, so.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and like they have like all of the right pieces to like make a big move for a great, you know, like a couple of really good pieces and like not hurt the major league team or the future, right? Like you can move India and still have a good roster. You can move like Noel V. Marte, right? And still have a great roster. Move Spencer Steer and like call up Encarnacion Strand, right? Like they've got a lot of young guys that can be moved for nice, good, big pieces and still have a huge future. So this is, I mean, you know, as an NL Central fan, like this feels like another, like one of those, you know, again, as it like, the Cardinals are bad this year, right? But the Cardinals traditionally are like that team who you traditionally like look at the top of the Central. And then there's always like one or two teams that are competing to be like that other top three team. And it seems like the next like 4 or 5 years of the Reds at least are going to be like that team of like,
yeah, like someone who's like a big baseball historian and like just appreciates the history of baseball, especially the Cincinnati Reds. Cause like those big red machine teams were like so much fun to like read about and like read different articles,
right? And then arguably the Reds, the first team, right?
Yeah, and like my dad, you know, growing up in Boston, you know, went to that World Series between the Red Sox and the Reds, and you know, he was actually at the walk off game six. He paid 25 cents to get in the bleachers as a kid, and then his uncle was an usher and would get him down to the lower level, so. Paid 25 cents, got into the bleachers, got down to lower levels, and got to watch Fisk hit the walk-off home run. So it's kind of cool to see possibly another era of maybe a big red machine coming in the making here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, again, even as an NL Central fan, right, like I can't be mad at the Reds having success, right? It's like the Reds and the Pirates. I can't really be like upset when those two teams are successful, you know, even though they're in my division. So I'm
yeah, it's hard to hate them. I think the only people that hate the Reds are Pirates fans, and you know,
yeah, and like, and that's like,
they just hate each other.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, man, what a crazy fun rivalry that was for a few years, and
especially if the Pirates draft
still obviously is still simmering and brewing and still kind of, I think, exists, but like, you know, those years where they just like had like, hey, set your clock, the Pirates and Reds are playing, there's going to be a brawl.
Yeah, like if the Pirates draft Skeens or Cruz, like they've got a good farm system themselves. Those two could be battling it out for the top of the division for the next few years.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about something a little less exciting. Aaron Judge injured his toe. It's like a ligament injury, I believe. The quote from him and Boone, I believe both essentially said the same thing, is that they expect him to be back this season, but quote unquote can't make any promises, right? Like, which obviously, you know, makes sense, right? You can't, especially so soon after the injury. It's, you know, obviously Judge going to try to come back. It's also one of those things of, you know, do you want him to rush back and potentially, you know, obviously, you know, this is not a great comparison, but I always think about Alan Craig, who rushed back from a foot injury in 2013 to be ready for the World Series, and you know, was very much never the same again. Do you want that? Do you want to, you know, especially with a player like Judge, your team captain, you know, MVP winner, theoretically future perennial MVP candidate, you know, maybe call it a wash on him for the year and have him be back fully healthy for next year and beyond, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, the Yankees don't feel like a playoff team this year. Like, if you look at their hitting stats when Judge is not in the lineup, it's ugly.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of funny, but like, it's just, it's ugly. And like, when you look at
Only player in the lineup with an OPS over 800, and his OPS is 1078.
And you look at a player like Judge, and like, beyond what he brings as a baseball player, you don't want to rush him back because of how he's built, like his physical frame. Right. Like,
yeah,
he's a big dude. You don't want to rush that back. So like,
he's built like an Ellie De La Cruz, right?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. You know, just not as good. Like, just looking at the standings,
he's built like a small forward. Like, he's built, you know, like that. Yeah. You expect him to be on a team with Giannis, not Anthony Rizzo. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So just looking at how the AL East looks this year and like, the overall AL wildcard standings, like, I get it. The Yankees probably, it is one of those things,
right? Like, the Yankees are hanging on to that second wildcard right now. Right. But, you know, without Judge, I agree. It's unlikely they're going to be holding on to that second wildcard spot in a week, let alone in 3 months, you know? So I think
it literally just takes the Astros or the Blue Jays to figure their stuff out.
Right.
And then those two teams are in it, and like, the Angels are, you know,
they don't even really have to. They don't really have to figure it out, right? Like, they are not. Yeah. They're like half a game back, you know. Like, it really just takes the Yankees to not have the best player on their team for a couple of weeks to be like, hey, you know, and the Red Sox are not that far behind them either. No. Like, I think you're right. Like, it's one of those things of they're hedging because they think, hey, if we happen to be in a playoff spot in August,
they're the Yankees.
I mean, that too.
The Yankees don't sell. They never sell. They retool.
Well, and it doesn't make sense for them necessarily to sell.
Retooling wouldn't hurt, though. I feel like this could be a year, like, I'm sure Yankees fans would hate to see it, but it doesn't feel like it wouldn't be a bad idea to retool the farm a little bit.
Right. Well, like, if you can move a Rizzo, for example, like, you know, like, you don't, he's kind of out, you know, worn out his usefulness for that team. And there's
someone will take Donaldson for nothing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. There's guys on that roster who are like, hey, you can move these guys and do a little bit of retooling and then, you know, be better next year. You don't want to rush back Judge on an injury when he is the heart and soul and core and captain of that team. For a team that, you know, even if they somehow sneak into the playoffs, like, they're not making a deep run. Like, you just, you know, like,
they feel like the surest two-game sweep wildcard team that now.
Right. Hey, if Judge comes back this year and he's at full power and he's doing well, then that's great. You know, we want him to have a speedy recovery, but definitely. I think across baseball, unless you are a Red Sox fan or you really, really hate the Yankees for some other reason, but like, again, it's hard to hate Judge, I think. Like, just because
Judge is one of those guys that's really hard.
I mean, you're a little biased, but yeah.
Well, so I haven't watched a single Yankees game this year.
Oh, well.
Like, my Yankees fandom wasn't even really fandom. It was just out of spite. And like, as I've gotten older, I've started to care less and less about them.
Yeah.
So I haven't watched a single game this year. And honestly, I feel better for it.
I'm confident he'll be back next year and good. And like, he's having a great season. Sure. But like, yeah. Anyway. Hey, let's move on. Speaking of the Angels, who are currently half a game out of a playoff spot, they I don't know.
Dude,
what a weird team, you know?
It's like, looking at the box score. So like, last night, if you were asleep, the Angels beat the Colorado Rockies by a decent score. It's like 25-1, you know. Normal score.
Yeah, they scored like 13 runs in the third inning. Like, pretty normal. 13
runs in the third inning, and then it was like 8 in the fourth.
And I think it was like, yeah, I think it was like 5 in the second, and then like a couple more.
You know, you want to talk Joe Tuxtamarm Doyle.
It's the
Shohei Ohtani had one hit the entire game.
Reverse tungsten arm game. Shohei went 1 for 7 and the team scored 25 runs. But on the other hand, in the tungsten arm category, the Rockies won the series.
They did. They got outscored. And
the Rockies scored fewer runs in the series than the Angels scored in the third inning of this game. But the Rockies won the series. David Fletcher hit a home run in this game. He went 4 for 6 with a home run. Still no barrel, though.
Mickey Moniak, former Phillies top prospect, had 5 hits.
5 for 5.
Glad to see him doing well. And then Mike Moustakas immediately gets traded from the Rockies to the Angels right after the game.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, if a team's going to beat a team that bad, we should definitely introduce a rule where, like, yeah, we get to take a player from your team because we smoked you that bad.
Arguably one of their best players right now, even though Moustakas is not, like, you know, he's not a world beater. But for the Rockies, that's a...
And not to mention, they just traded for Eduardo Escobar, too.
Yeah, they now have a wealth of third basemen because they don't have Anthony Rendon. Because
Anthony Rendon can't stay healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
Also Hunter Renfro's a first baseman now, and I think that's fascinating.
You know, is he a first baseman now, or is he like a...
He played first base last night.
We just need...
They got Mickey Moniak playing right field.
He's played a little first base throughout his career, but I think it was more like a, hey, we got to put a guy here. I think honestly, the reason they got Moustakas is to play first.
Which is a shame, because that means Mickey Moniak is probably going to lose playing time.
Yeah, you know, I think they'll find spots for guys to play in places, you know, but... what a weird season for this team. By the way, the two favorite memes I saw for the Moustakas trade was the first one was just the Homer meme, the Homer Simpson of retreating into the bush wearing an Angels hat, or wearing a Rockies hat and coming out wearing an Angels hat, which is classic. And then the other one was Angels beat him so bad that Moustakas fell out like a Mario coin.
Oh man.
It's very, very good. It's like in like season 2, the Battle City season of Yu-Gi-Oh, where if you lost you had to give them one of your cards.
You had to give up your rarest card.
They gave up their rarest of Mike Moustakas' card.
The Angels just won an Egyptian god card. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Moustakas the Tormentor.
Exactly. incredible. man. What a weekend. What is this team, man? What are the Angels?
The Angels are an anomaly, man. As someone who watches Philadelphia Phillies baseball every day, the Angels are an anomaly.
They feel like kindred spirits, the Angels and the Phillies.
They
100%
are.
The Angels definitely feel like the AL Phillies.
Same team, basically.
Yeah, I feel that way sometimes, but the Cardinals and like the Guardians, you know, they feel kind of like the same team. It's like there's always those like little parallels, like in like basketball. I feel like the Utah Jazz are like the Pacers of the West, you know?
Yeah.
Go Angels. We want Ohtani and Trout to have success.
Oh, yeah, I want to see Ohtani in the playoffs.
Let's get it. You know, we saw a taste of a playoff version of Ohtani in the WBC, and it's all we want in this world.
It's fun. Yep.
I believe Ohtani is destroying right now. Like he is clearly the MVP favorite, especially with Judge now out for most of the season. Like, I don't think he has a competitor.
Well, like, as long as he is hitting at an above average, an all-star level and pitches like he does, he's the favorite for MVP every year. It literally
Aaron
Judge breaking the AL home run record for Ohtani to win MVP.
But I think even just hitter Ohtani is MVP. He's pitching like a Cy Young candidate right now too. Like
there's
he's doing
no
both
runaway candidates right now in either league for Cy Young.
Yeah, he's him.
Yep.
You know,
he is him.
That's
I hate that phrase, but he is him.
I mean, you know, if you're using it for anybody, it's Shohei Ohtani, it definitely right? is. Like, he is him. And there are obviously hitters who are doing really well. There's, you know, like Wander Franco, but when you add the pitching on top of that, like it's hard to
go against them.
Yeah. Again, you're right. It took Judge literally being, you know,
breaking the record.
Hey, there was baseball in London this weekend. There wasn't last year, right? I think this was the first year back. They'd done it a few years ago, but obviously COVID
happened.
Yeah, they
didn't do it last year.
Yeah, COVID obviously made those things difficult, but finally baseball back in London this year, and it's going to be back next year as well with the Mets and the Phillies. This year with the Cardinals and the Cubs, I really, really wanted to go, and I tried to make it happen, but tickets, like flights were just too expensive. Like, I have a cousin in London too, so I didn't even have to, like, get lodging. I have a close cousin who, like, always lets people stay with him in London. I was like, we were going to go together, but yeah, just like flights were so crazy. I was like, I can't make it work, which was a real bummer. It would have been a bummer to watch that first game that the Cardinals lost like 9-1 or something.
Yeah.
But second game 7-5, you know. But did you watch any London baseball, and what were your thoughts?
I watched a little bit of it. Like, that ballpark is just like crazy for just like the ball flying out of there, and like the London fans kind of like, you know, they seem to appreciate it. I'm excited for Phillies Mets next year. Mainly because London, I don't think you're ready for Philly fans.
I think if any
fan base is going to fit in London, it's going to be Philly fans.
I was going to say, yeah, if any city is ready for Phillies fans,
yeah,
it is London. The UK knows how to deal with hooligans, right?
Yeah.
Like that's the thing that they know best.
So badly want to go, and I think fans of Philly, which is a travel group, and they like do different games and they take care of a hotel and airfare or travel for you. So if you're like interested in ever going to an Eagles game or a Phillies game, like for Eagles, I think they're doing Kansas City, Tampa, and New England as their trips. You know, you book through them and they'll get you out there. And you're not traveling alone, you're traveling with other Philly fans. So like your flight will be with other Philly fans. It's like, it's cool. Like, you just take over a whole flight and stuff. I think they're going to be doing, like, some sort of travel package for this series next year. So, like, if I didn't have a wedding in Bermuda to go to next year, I'd be going to this.
Yeah, the 2019 one, as a reminder, was Yankees-Red Sox. And then Cardinals Cubs was actually supposed to be 2020, and then obviously that got postponed, so it got postponed to this year. Mets-Phillies next year. And then they're not going to do it in 2025, but they will be back in 2026. And you know, it seems like it's a sort of a partnership's going to keep going forward, and it's exciting. Like, it's really fun to, you know, we talked many times about expanding baseball internationally, and I don't remember if you were on an episode with me when we were talking about Baseball United, which is bringing baseball to the Middle East, and South Asia, which is super exciting, and then obviously the World Baseball Classic, which was huge this year, and they've got the Mexico series that I think is coming back this year as well. It was earlier this year, and then also coming back next year. And what's nice about the London series is that they have done a good job, at least so far, of doing like nice, big, cool rivalries, because they do have to, like, that's the way,
yeah,
I think,
sell
to
the series, yeah.
Well, to sell the series, that's the kind of the way to build in a non-baseball area like the UK, you know, like the Mexico series have been, what was it,
Giants Padres.
Yeah, the first one was supposed to be Diamondbacks Padres. This year ended up being Giants Padres. Next year it's Astros Rockies, which are like teams that are not far from Mexico. But that's also like, you know, Mexico already has enough of a fan base, inbuilt fan base of baseball. They don't have to like get them excited about it, right? And like same with like Puerto Rico, where they played last in 2018. We're supposed to play in 2020 again, and are you know trying to bring back. And then like Japan as well, obviously, right? Like Japan cares most about baseball of, I would say, any country in the world, period, including America.
Well, I imagine if you're doing, like, you want to do rivalries for the London series, obviously you're doing Mets Phillies, which is like the second biggest East Coast rivalry, I'd say, behind Red Sox Yankees. 2025, you got to do Dodgers Giants.
You got, I mean, you got to try to it's tough, right? Because of the travel and the time zones and stuff like that. But I think you got to have them have like an East Coast road trip, and then in the middle of the East Coast road trip, send them to London.
Yeah.
But I agree. You got to do Dodgers Giants. Like, you got to do your best to make Dodgers Giants work, which is going to be a tough schedule. But like, man,
you gotta make
like that's the series you got to make happen.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely, 100% agreed. Hey, speaking of the Padres we talked about a moment ago, David Ortiz, who was, by the way, at London Baseball. By the way, London Baseball was, I believe, both Albert Pujols' TV debut, but Derek Jeter's TV debut.
And he got a Red Sox jersey.
He got a Red Sox jersey from Big Poppy, which was so funny. Dude, Ortiz and Poppy, like, sitting next to each other on that broadcast, like, I honestly think... Like, because those two, and then A-Rod too, but I think they might have figured out the inside the NBA formula. Like, no,
100%.
I think they've done it.
I was going to say, they figured it out with Ortiz, Thomas, A-Rod, and Jeter.
But Ortiz and Jeter especially, like, that feels like a great Chuck and Shaq, you know? Like, that feels like you've got that.
Yep.
You might have captured that lightning in a bottle. Because, man, that was so fun to watch those
great.
Two. Yeah. I don't remember who the adult at the table was, you've been a player, you've been an owner, general manager, blah blah blah, now you're here on a broadcast, how's it feeling? It's like, hey, I've done all these things, and this is definitely the worst. Which is like just such a great energy to come in with.
Yeah.
Takes the cake. Oh, it's so great, man. Yeah. And like, I mean, that's such a, like, it really is a natural landing spot for like Derek Jeter. Like, that is, you know, like, he is the guy to like be doing that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, he was the face of baseball in a way, and it's like, in a way that, like, you know, Jordan could not go and be a broadcaster for basketball, so he doesn't have to go and be a terrible owner, just like Jeter. But you know, I think Jeter was not as good at baseball as Jordan was at basketball, so he gets to be a Shaq or a Chuck.
Yeah.
Great chemistry, and they got to make that like just like
fun.
They got to make that a show. I got to see that, you know, like that's And for what it's worth, that's what gets people, I think, to watch. Like, that's what gets casuals to watch. I can send my sister-in-law, who doesn't care about basketball at all, a clip of Shaq and Chuck, and like, she'll find it funny because they have good chemistry, and that's what matters, you know.
I mean,
and that's
Shaq's
how you get
such,
like,
a character to begin with,
right? And Chuck, you know,
yeah,
like, yeah, for sure.
Like,
you know,
someone who's just starting to get into NBA and starting to like NBA, I love Shaq. Like, I think he's like.
Yeah.
He just cracks me up, man.
Yeah, yeah. And again, like he's got that, I think like the Shaq and Poppy energy is very similar, and I think the Jeter and Chuck energy can be very similar too. So I'm hoping that they keep that that sort of table. I didn't see a lot of, like, I mean, there was a little bit of A-Rod participation. They're not like a whole ton of it in the clips that I saw. But you know, I don't know if he is the, I mean, like, whatever. If he's the Kenny Smith, like, that's fine.
Sure.
More like the core of it really is, you know, and like, and because you do need like an Ernie, like that's important to have.
Yeah.
To have the adult at the table to wrangle these guys. But yeah, I'm man.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
That's
incredible.
The code, man. I think they figured out the code.
Yeah,
I gotta give those guys a show. Anyway, that was ESPN too. It's so like man, like, give them baseball. Do they still do baseball tonight? Like, bring it back. Give them baseball tonight. I think they canceled baseball tonight a few years ago.
They did. Bring it back, man.
But like, bring it back. Because those two make it work, I think. I think
that requires ESPN to care about anything other than the
NFL. I think they do. I think they do. I think it does still run. I think that I don't have ESPN, so I'm not like,
not
that's
anyway.
Why I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I think I believe it does still. They still do it before Sunday Night Baseball.
Yes.
And for like the All-Star game and like big games. They just don't do it daily anymore. They used to do it daily,
yeah.
Which I get. But hey, man, you gotta, like, if you got the chemistry, which this chemistry works, like, that's a good excuse to finally be like, hey, man, definitely, maybe we bring it back to, you know, maybe do three times a week for a little bit and then, like, see how that goes. I think it's, I don't know, I think it works. I think it works really well. Anyway, I brought up Ortiz because Ortiz said that he thinks Soto should have taken the 15-year, $440 million offer from the Nats. The quote is, anyone who knows this business knows that you don't say no to that. What do you do with $500 million that you can't do with $440 million? Yeah. Not like a whole ton to talk about here, but what do you, like, I agree, right? Like, I guess maybe agree. A big part of it is Soto, like, didn't want to stay with the Nats, who clearly have not had, like, a history of making great decisions, you know, like, obviously, yeah, they won a World Series, right? But, like, they won one World Series in like the that 10-year stretch that they seemed to have been a good team, you know, like,
so. Yeah, I mean, like, Juan Soto is never gonna see that kind of money. Like, Dylan has had this take too, but you know, we both think Juan Soto is extremely overrated and just an overhyped, he's an overhyped DH who is really just a walk merchant and can't play the outfield.
His like, defense is adequate. It's not bad.
Okay, but
I mean, like, look, I mean, you
gets
watch
older.
Yeah, sure. You watch Kyle Schwarber on a daily basis.
I unfortunately watch Kyle Schwarber play left field. This is why I can't wait for Harper to move to first base.
Or but like
Paul Goldschmidt comes to the Phillies, one of the two, you know.
Yeah, maybe Rizzo, you know. But yeah, I mean, like, I think, look, I don't know if it's come across on the podcast. Dylan is one of the world's biggest haters. Dylan is like,
you don't say.
I don't know if podcast Dude, listeners have not realized
Jose
this.
Jose Alvarado or Rhys Hoskins with him, and he just gets so angry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dylan drinks that haterade for sure. I don't know, because I feel like he tones it down on the podcast a little bit, yeah, to come off as reasonable, but. He is a true hater. So I do think maybe Soto is a little bit overrated, but again, like, he is 24 and he had like a number of like really great seasons for a player as young as he is, you know, like, but yeah, so I get sort of both sides of the coin, but I do also think that he's definitely not going to get the money that that they offered him anymore. Like,
maybe he might get like a Bryce Harper type deal, you know.
I don't even know if he's gonna get that, because like, because
I don't know.
Harper only had one MVP at the time, or
he had one MVP, but he was also 27 when he hit free agent. He was
25.
Yep. So like,
I guess I could see it then.
I could see a Harper type deal.
Yeah, just like a quick look at their career WAR up to that point. It's not too far off. Harper was 27.8, and this is a baseball reference WAR. And Soto to date is 26.6.
Yeah, and they're pretty similar.
Yeah, so I could see that, and you know. 13-3 something or whatever. What was it? 13-350, something like that.
So Harper got 13-330.
13-330, yeah. And then with a little bit of like inflation numbers, maybe it's more like a, you know, I mean, you know,
13-360 for Soto or something like that.
Well, I mean, what did Xander Bogaerts get? You know, if the Padres are who's re-signing Soto,
entirely too many years, entirely too much.
Yeah. Let's see. Bogaerts also got 13, right? Or maybe it was 12.
I think it was like 12. I don't know, man.
It was 11-280.
Yeah.
So I think in a world where Bogaerts gets 11-280, obviously other teams don't give Soto that kind of crazy numbers, but the Padres might.
Padres sure do. They go full on pod racing.
Yeah. Listen, he gambled on himself. He was young. Maybe it was the wrong gamble to make. But I mean, look, the dude still walks at an insane clip, right? He still gets on base.
Yeah.
Like, which is his number one skill. Obviously, you know, the batting average, which is still solid, and the power is still solid. But like, the man gets on base, and that's a skill that you don't lose.
No.
Like,
no, you don't.
You don't lose your eye, you know, and he's led the league. He's led both leagues in walks 3 years in a row by, I think, quite a margin. So like, that's a skill that ages incredibly well. And, you know, everything else you can tweak.
Yeah, definitely. You know?
And it's not that the fundamentals aren't there. The fundamentals are clearly there. You've seen the fundamentals year after year. Sometimes they go bad. Sometimes they get better. Maybe you've got to find the right hitting coach to pair with them. Yeah, I don't know. I think like Dylan, and again, Dylan sometimes exaggerates for the hater level, but Dylan put him on his like bad player all-stars.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Okay. Let's be reasonable here, Dylan, you know. I just you know, like there's cuz like he put him on the list with actual like these guys are washed players. It's like right. Okay. There's a level. Anyway. Our last news hit here, just a bit of you know, end of an era news, I guess. 538 as of this week no longer supports predictive metrics for sports. I think I noticed that NHL or maybe it was NBA like preseason predictions, something like that. They didn't have preseason predictions for some league that I would have that they in the past had.
Right.
Yeah, it looks like they have ended it. They're not doing predictive predictions anymore.
I mean, I really only use their website come election time just to watch the little meter go and then doom scroll all the predictions. Like,
for sure.
I was doom scrolling the PA governor race last year because, like, I was terrified of, I don't even remember his name now. He was horrible. I'm glad he didn't win. Glad we got Shapiro because I-95 is open, baby.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I Mastriano only really
was the other guy. Yeah,
Mastriano. Did you see the video
of Shapiro like recognizing the guy in the audience?
dude, they used the mascots to open 95.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. I totally get what you're saying, right? Like, and that's what most people I think use 538 for. And they might continue. I don't know if they're gonna like completely. They might continue doing like NBA because NBA obviously like does sort of the best for them. But
yeah.
This is where Nate Silver got to start, right? It was in baseball analytics, baseball metrics. So it is interesting to see that the last sports article they wrote was in May, and before that April, and like they had like they're pretty consistent before that, but like. I think now it's just like, hey, if somebody has a sports article, they might write it. But otherwise, like they are dumping sports. And it's like, it's a little sad to see because 538, obviously they lost the ABC. I think ABC like got rid of them this year or something like that.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
So I get it. I get they're kind of like paring down and whatnot. And I think they're still owned by ABC News. I think they like laid a bunch of people off, something like that.
Yeah.
Or they are quote unquote on the chopping block. They have not been fired yet.
They have some time.
But still, I mean, Silver got laid off. A bunch of people got laid off.
Yeah.
The site still exists, but all of the important people got dumped. So essentially, it's dead. So
yeah, pretty much.
You know, I get it. It's just like it is. Like and maybe who knows, right? Maybe. Nate Silver goes and starts a new thing and does it there, but
he'd probably do pretty good at it.
It's like when Grantland went away, right? Like it's the same sort of vibe of like, hey, like this is a thing that a lot of us knew as a sports thing, and now it's like it's gone. You know, like Nate Silver made Pakoda. Remember Pakoda? Like
I do.
You know, like that's like it's a big deal. So, all right, Pat. Hey, I know we ended up starting late, getting here late, but thanks for making it and not making me do a solo intro.
I'm proud of myself that I haven't fallen asleep yet. I'm amazed. Dude, thank you for having me, as always.
Absolutely. Now we do have a segment coming. Like I said, I sat down with my friend Mitsula, who is a Vegas local and a sports fan in Vegas, to talk about how he and what the local temperature is for the A's relocation. So stay tuned for that. Welcome back to the show. I am Naim. I think I was probably on the intro as well, but now we're here in our segment. And like I said, I am talking to my friend Mitzula. How's it going, Mitzula?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Good to talk to you, man.
It's great to talk to you. Mitzula, you live and work in Vegas. You are a big sports guy in Vegas. And I think in the community, right? Like, people know you?
I'm relatively known. I've been in the sports betting industry for a little over 12 years now. Been in Vegas since 2009. So
yeah,
been here for a while doing all that stuff. So yeah, kind of get to live, breathe, and speak sports all day. It's not a bad gig.
There we go. And so here we are having you speak sports and speak Vegas sports. And, you know, I think this might be the last time that we talk about we've said it a few times. I think that might be the last time we talk about the Vegas A's move, and we keep having another reason to talk about it. But I think, you know, at this point, everything seems final. There doesn't seem like any, you know, there's going to be like a perfunctory vote coming up from the owners, but that's expected to pass. So beyond this, it seems like the A's are going to be in Vegas. Now, let me talk a little bit about your sort of Vegas, the Vegas sports history, right? Because in the last few years, you know, this is going to be the third Big Four team of three to arrive in Vegas, you know, by different means. So obviously the Golden Knights were an expansion team, and then the Raiders also moved from Oakland. So I think, can you talk a little bit about those two teams and, you know, their arrival in Vegas? And then we'll talk a little bit about the A's as well.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Like I said, I've been out here since 2009, when all the pro sports leagues wouldn't even acknowledge Vegas was a city. Like, they wouldn't even allow meetings to happen. Like, if players came out here, players could get in trouble for even being in Vegas, because, you know, gambling was evil. And now, 13 years later, we got two, possibly all three of the big teams coming in.
Now Bally sponsors the networks.
Yeah, Bally's has got the network. Well, if they're not bankrupt in the other locations, but yes, that's a whole other thing. Yeah. But yeah, it's been crazy to watch this. And come on, like, when I started off in this industry, you couldn't, like, they would make vague allusions to the betting world on, like, TV coverages. Like, Brett Musburg would say, you know, my friends in the desert had a thing on that, or there'd be like a late field goal in a game. Like, well, some people, that mattered to some people, but not most.
Right.
And now it's weird to see, like, the actual, like, odds on the screen.
Talking about lines,
like, live traded prices. It's even weirder when it's your price. Like, hey, that's me. I'm dealing that. That's my price they're showing. But that's a whole other thing altogether. But the Aces are here as well. But when the BGK was announced, the Golden Knights were announced, as somebody who grew up in Minnesota and has been a hockey fan his entire life, I was really happy because I love hockey live. Live hockey is the best sport to see, in my opinion.
Right, and that's one thing. I'm honestly why I thought about having you. I mean, I knew you were in Vegas and I knew you were in sports betting, but you talk about the Golden Knights a lot on Twitter.
Well, I mean, that's also it's a homegrown team. You know, it's definitely a right. Vegas team. It's been fun watching this fan base, because, like, I went to the preseason games and watched fans not know what icing was. Watched fans boo when they were clearing a puck on the penalty kill, because they're like, oh no, they're gonna get icing, and then they didn't call it. They're like, wait, icing doesn't happen when you're on a penalty kill. And just watching the fan base out here slowly learn hockey has been very fun. And it's like, I mean, without here, it's. Vegas is kind of an interesting town because nobody's from Vegas. There's some people, but for the most part, everybody was somewhere else and then moved here.
Right.
So you bring your home affiliations with you. Like, you know, I grew up in Minnesota, so I've always been a Twins and a Vikings fan. But I was never a Wild or North Stars fan, because the year I got into hockey was the year the North Stars left Minnesota.
Right.
So I didn't have an NHL affiliation. So I got to be on the ground floor with VGK when they started off. Unfortunately, I figured, like all NHL expansion teams, they would be terrible and I could just buy a half season pass halfway through the year and be good to go. And that ended up being a very expensive decision on my end, as I spent more on playoff tickets year one than I would have on season tickets. So
Yeah. And obviously, you know, the Golden Knights were very good right away. They just won a cup, so congratulations.
That's been kind of crazy to imagine. Like, I mean, as somebody who's as a Minnesota sports fan, I was, you know, 10 the last time a Minnesota team won anything.
Yeah.
So I mean, other than the Lynx, but you know, so it's been crazy to be like, oh yeah, this is what it's like to have a good team. I forgot that that's an option. I'm used to my teams just, you know, choking in the playoffs and never happening. So,
yeah, and like you said, you know, Vegas was, you know, the Golden Knights were a homegrown team that was a, I mean, that was, you know, obviously it was a team that in the experience, it was well run, right? That's a,
yeah.
Whereas, you know, with say the Raiders, right? The way they might have been run in Oakland, or you know, with other moves, right? So I'm from St. Louis. Everybody knows that who listened to the show. And the Rams were very clearly tanked on their way out of St. Louis, and then suddenly they show up in Los Angeles, and oh, maybe we can spend money to make them good, right? So you know, there is, I think, that bit of sour taste. So how is that with the Raiders? Obviously, you're a Vikings fan, right? But, you know,
I mean, the Raiders already had a strong fan base out here to begin with.
Sure.
And I mean, we're essentially the, as I like to joke, Vegas is the easternmost suburb of Los Angeles. So, and there's been a ton of, I mean, there's always been Raiders fans out here, but Vegas is, like I said, it's very touristy. It's a very, visitor heavy town. It's very, you know,
right.
Even the locals aren't locals. Like most people grew up somewhere else and then moved here. So they have an NFL affiliation already. So for the most part, everybody just looked at the Raiders and said, that's fine. You know, I'm not going to care about the Raiders, but I'll get to go watch a game when my team comes to town. And Vegas didn't have a giant NFL stadium. We didn't have a 60,000 person venue. We didn't have a place that we could hold, you know, Taylor Swift concerts and stuff like that. So Vegas, it was a venue Vegas needed. While we did put a lot of taxpayer money into it, not as much as some of the other proposals, but they put a good chunk of change into it. But it's actually one of the few stadiums that's profitable. Like, it's actually shown out to be a good investment for Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. So of course they're all pointing to that for the baseball stadium, going, well, look, it's looking for the Raiders stadium. Why won't it work for the baseball stadium? And then you're like, yeah, well, we have 19,000 person venues already in this town. We didn't have a 60,000 person venue. So,
yeah, well, I mean, that is true. Although, you know, you can definitely, we'll talk about the public funding in a moment, I guess, but that is one thing, right? Because the initial plan for the baseball stadium was to have it a little bit further out, but now they're planning to put it on the strip, right? And that, I can see how
it's still kind of weird how they don't technically have, they have two separate, you know, contracts or intentions to purchase plots of land, one on the strip and one like across the street from the strip.
Right.
And I mean, right now they're focusing everything on the Tropicana site, but that artist rendering they have is not quite going to work because the artist rendering has them knocking down like two hotels they don't own and some other stuff. So
sure. Yeah. But I can see how there is a benefit to having something that's not in paradise, right? like it's on the strip itself.
Well, I mean,
I guess.
Technically the strip is paradise. Oh, so it's okay. Technically, yeah. The Las Vegas city proper actually ends at the Sahara Road and Las Vegas Boulevard. The only Las Vegas strip casino that's technically in Las Vegas is the Stratosphere or the Strat.
Interesting.
All the other hotels are technically in unincorporated Clark County, the city of paradise.
Gotcha.
Which they were built there for tax reasons and to get away from controls and all of that. And, that's why, you know, it's probably the largest unincorporated municipality in the world, I would assume.
Yeah.
Because it's got, you know, all those giant casinos and a ton of the housing and stuff. So, but yeah, everything falls under the Vegas moniker, but there's not actually a lot that's technically Las Vegas itself. So,
right. So let's talk about the A's move. So before we recorded, I showed you that I'm wearing full Oakland A's gear, and you had on I already forgot. It's an aviator's hat, but specifically?
It's the Rayas de Platas. It's their Diversion Cup, Minor League Baseball. They play a series within a series in Minor League Baseball, and they play in this alter ego called the Rayas de Platas, the Silver Kings.
Yeah.
And every team. Cool. Every team kind of in the Pacific, a few other locations have to celebrate, you know, the Hispanic and Central American heritage of baseball players. So it's got a lot of all the teams kind of have a Latin influenced alter ego that they play these little mini series that count. They wear separate uniforms, counts for their main season, but then it also counts in a separate cup.
Right.
So they have their own little thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I've got a few copies of that because it's got a cool sugar skull that I really like. So I wear this hat. If I'm not wearing a VGK hat, I'm probably wearing this one. So,
let's separate for a moment the taxpayer funding thing and just talk about the baseball of it all. What is your feeling as a local of a major league team coming through who, you know, again, you say you're a Twins fan, so I'm sure they would be at best your second team, or, hey, I'll watch the Twins come three times to town. But what's the sort of your feeling and maybe the feeling on the ground you've heard from other people about the A's, you know, playing?
I mean, the thing with baseball is people don't realize is it's 162 games. It's 181 home games. That's a lot of games, especially for a summer sport in Nevada. It's going to be 115 at first pitch for a lot of these games in the summer, in July and August.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hot. I mean, even if it's in, and you know, it's even if it is a retractable roof or a controlled environment, an enclosed stadium, it's still going to be stupid hot getting there, especially if it's on the strip. There's not parking convenient. You're going to have to park at another hotel and either monorail or walk or find a tram or something to get to the arena. So, I mean, the setup isn't going to be horrible because it's going to be the same as the football setup where you're like, okay, it makes sense. It's just 81 games is a whole bigger hurdle to accomplish than, you know, 8 for the NFL or 40 for hockey. You know, it's going to be crazy to see how they're going to do that. I don't know how they're going to sell, you know, 30,000 tickets for 81 games a year. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But I mean, that seems to be the main concern to everybody is just, you know, we're in the middle of the desert. It's hot as heck. I don't know how many people you're going to get to go to a, you know, Tuesday afternoon, you know, a Monday afternoon get out game at, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning on a Monday. I don't think there's gonna be many players, people that are going to be like, yeah, let's go check that out. That sounds like a fun thing. And like Thursday,
as you mentioned, right? I guess a lot of people are, you know, if a lot of people who are in Vegas at any given time are in Vegas on vacation, right? So
yeah, I mean, and you will get, like, that was the one thing that we always said when BGK was first announced. I said, you know what? Even if they suck, everybody's going to want to come here, because if you're a hockey fan, let's say you're a Blackhawks fan, and let's say you go to one road game a year, do you want to go see them play Boston in, you know, July in January, or do you want to come to Vegas in, you know, February?
Right.
You'd much rather come to Vegas and have your trip around that than go somewhere where you're not, you know, it's going to be cold and crappy the entire time. So I think they will draw some visiting fans, especially with the new stadium, especially baseball fans. Baseball fans love going to all the stadiums and seeing their team play everywhere.
Yeah, and that was kind of the quote too, right? Was that I think they were expecting like 60 to 70% visiting fans, which is
I think that's kind of the business model they're banking on, but I don't think 60% of visiting fans are going to come and buy tickets for all the entire series. They might buy one game on the weekend, but they're also going to buy show tickets and they're going to go to a concert or they're going to do something else during that time. It's not like they're going to travel and go to all three games for the road trip. So that could make things a little interesting with that. And I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they do the ticketing out here. So, I mean, with PSLs and all that, the PSLs, because the Knights didn't do PSLs, but the Raiders did. So it's kind of interesting to see how that's going to work out. And I think they're pushing for PSLs for the A stadium just because the A's want to make as much money as possible out of it. So why not charge people for the rights to buy tickets, which I still have never been a fan of that. So,
yeah. So when I asked you to come on the show, you specifically mentioned the taxpayer money, which is something that I certainly agree with in principle. And again, as a St. Louis sports fan, when the Rams left St. Louis, it took a little while. St. Louis was in bidding for an MLS team for a long time. We just got it this season. And a big reason that it took a while was because a lot of the proposals included taxpayer money, and St. Louis was not about to spend taxpayer money on a team after having done it. After having done it for renovations of the what was then the Edward Jones Dome before the team dipped out. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about spending your taxpayer money on a billionaire moving a team who chose not to spend any of their money in Oakland.
That's been the big thing, is everybody's just concerned. And I mean, everybody's kind of looking at the Rams as the example of, yeah, they were, you know, garbage before they left their town, but once they got the new stadium and the new setup, then they stepped it up. And I think everybody's anticipating that from the A's. I just kind of wish they had actually, you know, put it in contract. I've joked for a while that they should have tied to the legislation that, yes, we will give you, you know, this $480 million that you want, but if you only get whatever the win, whatever your overall win percentage is for the season, that's percentage of funding you get from taxpayers.
Yeah.
So right now they would be getting like 0.04% of that financing because they are not playing very well. So.
Right.
But I mean, I think the everybody out here is, you know, not happy about it. But I think the A's will step up and start spending if they've got a new stadium and new money and new interest and new media rights and a new city and all that. But it'll be interesting to see. And like I said, nobody out here, Nevada is a very much a, we don't pay out on state income tax. We have, you know, we're very low on taxes. They don't want a lot of taxes on stuff because we're supposed to be this cheap desert oasis. So the more public taxes, and that was the thing with the football stadium. Well, yes, it was a tax. It was actually a like extra 0.5% room tax. So it was technically a tourist tax, not a locals tax.
Yeah.
Whereas the baseball stadium, I don't think they've actually decided exactly what the specifics are going to be for that tax. So I think they're probably assuming it's going to be coming from the state funds. And that's where people are getting a little cranky about is exactly how it's going to be financed and exactly what money is coming from, especially because this year they just the governor vetoed summer school for the year because they don't have it in the budget to pay for summer school. But somehow a week later, they had it in the budget to give $500 million to the Oakland A's for a stadium to be built somewhere in this town because the rendering that they based everything on can't physically happen.
Right. Well, and what's the sort of temperature been, you know, around all of the sort of yo-yoing that, you know, I mean,
Vegas is used to it out here. Vegas has been the, ever since the Knights were announced, Vegas became the, well, we're just going to move our team to Vegas bargaining chip.
Yeah.
Much like LA was the thing with the Rams, you know, they were like, we're going to move to Los Angeles. And everybody's like, no, it won't ever happen. And then it happened. And that's the same thing. Now the Raiders kept saying, well, we're going to move to Vegas and that would never happen. And it happened. So now the A's are saying it and it looks like it's going to happen. So, I mean, I'm just kind of happy because if we get a basketball team, then they can't use Vegas as a bargaining chip anymore. So it'll be interesting to see where else they're going to say. So I'd assume it'll be, I don't know, Austin or Seattle or somebody will become the new bargaining chip, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really all I got. Do you have any other thoughts on the Vegas A's? Are you going to, you know, go to 15 games a year?
I mean, I'll go to the Twin Series. And if I got friends that come to town for something and they want to go check it out, I mean, I'm not going to object, but I'm also not going to be going and dropping, you know, home plate dugout season tickets or anything like that. Right. So,
yeah.
I mean, it'll be, it's just like anything else out here. I mean, we're not going to be happy with it. And then it shows up and we'll go take it. Like, that's the thing is like the Knights was a kind of a fluke thing. It was the team we didn't know we needed for the sport that nobody in the area cared about. And now the entire community revolves around them. And like, if I'm wearing a Knights hat anywhere, everybody's like, oh yeah, go Knights. That was great. They won the cup. So great. Knights, yeah. You know, whereas the Raiders,
like you said,
so.
Knights were homegrown. It was a, hey, this is a new team with no existing fan base. And, you know, I think sports fans, like, you know, there's obviously, maybe different sports fans have different sort of opinions on this, but I think, you know, I like basketball. I'm a Pacers fan, but I'm a St. Louis sports fan. If a team came to St. Louis, I'd root for them, but I would feel a little bit conflicted if, say, the Pelicans got moved to St. Louis, right? And I'd be like, okay, you know, it sucks that we had to take it away from another fan base, unless it was OKC. I'd be fine if the team got taken away from OKC. but that turned the teams.
I'm feeling if the OKC team leaves, they're not going to go to St. Louis. I'd assume they go back to Seattle.
They go to Seattle. Obviously, they go to Seattle, 100%. And they should. That's where they should be. But I would feel a little conflicted. Whereas with an expansion team, and if an expansion franchise comes through, it's like, great, there's no baggage. You don't, you know, you're not.
Well, and I mean, the expansion team, especially with the NHL, is, well, everybody has an NFL team and most people have an MLB team. You know, most of the public doesn't have an NHL team that they root for. Like if their local team is doing well, they might, you know, pay attention to the playoffs, but it's very rare that, you know, you're going to have diehard NHL fans like you do in the NFL. Like, you know, you've got guys
especially in that area, right? Like if it's a sort of hockey city, right? Like you said, you were a little bit like when the Wild showed up in Minnesota, you were a little bit past that, right? But somebody who grew up with the Wild in Minnesota.
I've got family that are, you know, big hockey fans, and they were, you know, I was in that weird loophole where like the year I got into hockey was the year the Stars announced they were leaving. And then the year I left for college was the year that the Wild became the Minnesota team. Yeah. So like I never had a professional connection for the NHL, but I have family that are diehard Wild fan because that's all they've known their entire life. And they're a huge Wild fan. And I mean, I'm not going to hold that against them, even though Vegas beats them every time we play them. But I'm not going to. And that's the thing is it's just kind of one of those. And I think baseball is going to be interesting because everybody here kind of has their local team that they already cheered for, their home team, their childhood team, and I'm sure they'll embrace the A's as they come here. But unless the A's, which I would assume the A's will start spending money if slash when it happens. So
I think
once
they'll spend more money than the last few years, well, right? But the A's have not spent money in a long time, even when they were planning on staying in the Bay Area, like when, you know, when the San Jose talks were happening, stuff like that. It's not like the A's have ever, I mean, they you know, the A's haven't spent money since like the 80s, right? Like, so
I really think the A's ownership is trying to get this move. And then I think they sell the team if the move happens.
Possibly, yeah,
because I think it you know, it multiplies their value, you know, massively, and then they don't have to mess with any of the other stuff. They're like, oh yeah, but we're here, all right, we're gonna sell to another team. And I mean, even while here, I would assume Bill Foley wouldn't object to throwing some money at him. Would be like, I'll take that too. I got a hockey team.
Obviously,
really
the leg up they have moving to Vegas specifically is that the, you know, they've already built a little bit of a following with the Aviators being there, who, you know, previously were not an A's Farms team, but have been for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, the first couple of years out here, they're the Mets farm team. I always thought that was the weirdest thing ever. I was like, how are the Mets minor league team in Las Vegas? But
yeah,
now they're, yeah, they've been the A's for the since they moved to the new compound, which is actually a really nice facility. They're nice. Their stadium out here is really nice. It's a small little open air stadium, so it's kind of weird in the summer because it can be really hot. But they also have a pool in center field, which is nice. But they've done nice. I mean, they do have a little bit of a fan base here, but that's predominantly kind of the Summerlin thing. So
yeah,
it's like, it's
well,
a, that's
the thing too, right? Like if you like, for example, right?
Like
you said, right? You've got an Aviators hat. You're into that sort of part of the team, and it's got that connection. And you know, when those kids get called up, they get called up to the A's, who are now going to be playing on the Strip? Question mark.
I'm gonna think. And the best is, I've just said, they voted to give the guy $1 billion to build a stadium somewhere.
Somewhere.
I don't really know where yet, but somewhere.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, Mizzoula, thanks for joining. Like I said, it's nice to get another perspective, right? Because we have talked so much from the perspective of longtime baseball fans who like the Oakland A's, and we've had people who were A's fans on. But from the perspective of somebody in Vegas who, you know, you're now getting a team there who, yeah, obviously, you, like you said, you're a Twins fan, but a team shows up, you know. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to go to season tickets. I'm not going to go to every game, but you know what? I might go, especially, you know, in Vegas. Baseball will be kind of good in Vegas because, unlike most cities, Vegas is a weird 24/7, 365 town. And most people in this town don't work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. So a lot of industry people have, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Wednesday, Thursday weekends.
Yeah.
So that'll actually fit kind of into the baseball schedule, where you can get those guys that will go to that Wednesday afternoon game because they're off because it's their weekend.
Right.
Whereas in most cities, you know, the weekday games are kind of crickets and the weekend games are kind of busy. Vegas could be a kind of an inverse of that, where the weekend games will be busy, but it'll be all tourists. And then the weekday games could be busy, but it'll mostly be locals.
Right.
So, well, but then again,
also, like you said, the locals will also be visiting fans.
Yeah, the locals will be visiting. They'll be cheering for the visiting team while being locals, more than likely. So.
I'm just happy because
it means I don't have to go to the Coliseum and watch another baseball game if I want to see the Twins play. Because I went there a couple years back, and I was like, oh, and this was 6-8 years ago, and the place was terrible then.
You know.
We haven't put anything into it.
The Coliseum has been not a great place for a while, and you know, as Oakland fans agree that the Coliseum is not a great place, they just want another place in Oakland. Like, you know, at this point, they'd have been happy another place in San Jose. But
The funny thing is, I saw an article they were talking about. They were interviewing a like diehard A's fan from Reno, and he was like, "Yeah, this will be great, except for the fact that it's now further for me to travel to go to a game in Las Vegas than it is for me to go to a game in Oakland, because Reno is closer to Oakland than it is to Las Vegas." So
yeah. All right. Well, it was great talking to you, Mizzoula. Is there anything you want to point people to, or you just good?
I'm Mizzoula, MITZULA, pretty much everywhere on the internet. So if you want to find me, that's where I'll be.
Fantastic. All right. Good talking with you. And we will cut now to the outro.
All right. Thank you.
All right, folks. folks, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Brain Delay Radio is executive produced by Lewis. My name is Nye. I edited this episode. I also hosted the episode along with Pat and conducted our interview. Thanks so much to Mitzula for joining us. Our theme music was composed by Chuck Leese. Brain Delay Radio releases every Monday morning, usually at 1 a.m. Eastern Time, sometimes a little bit later. And we will talk to you next week.